You don't stop needing information just because you left the car. That's why News Radio 92.3 goes with you. On your phone, on your computer, wherever you are. Stream us live or download the News Radio 92.3 app. Stay connected to local news, breaking updates, and conversations that matter, even when you're not near a radio.
And that's a good thing.
It's News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Some interesting things taking place in the last day or two. The Confederate Monument story continues. I don't know if you saw this, but you remember the Confederate Monument that used to sit at the top of the hill, and then we had people protested the monument, and there was some people who thought that it ought to be preserved and explained in context. It ought to be removed. And then they basically, you know, city council voted to remove it. And then there was lawsuits that the removal was unlawful or inappropriate. And there was efforts even at the state level to try to, you know, prevent that kind of thing. Well, they removed it. And, you know, at that point, it was all over but the recriminations and lawsuits. And eventually the, you know, monument kind of went wherever it went, into storage. Well, now the monument has been moved in part, and it's in part that it's important to realize, to St. John's Cemetery. P&J doing good reporting on this, that the bottom of the monument, which they call, I guess they call that the cenotaph. I've never loved that particular word, but it's the word that people use. That's the four-sided kind of tomb-ish structure is the way you think about it. It's empty, so there's not, you know, there's no bodies inside of that. But that's the part that had the four sides honoring, you know, various prominent figures from the Confederacy. And then the top, or the, you know, the monolith or the obelisk, if you prefer to call it, the one that looks like the Washington Monument, that part, and then also has, you know, the soldier on top, that's separate, okay? So the bottom portion has been put in, or is being put in at the St. John's Cemetery. And when you read the story, Jim did a really good job on this. Jim Little's a friend. He's the P&J, been here a long time. I think like a decade now. Anyway, the bottom part, which has, as I say, the four different sides and, you know, has the, you know, the statement about who it's honoring and, you know, Edward Perry, Confederate general, Stephen Mallory, the Secretary of the Navy who lived in Pensacola, Stephen Mallory, the uncrowned heroes of the Southern Confederacy. You know, that's the part that makes my skin crawl a little bit. It just does. You know, I'm a Northerner. I was, you know, my whole life I was raised in, you know, Illinois and Michigan. And so to me, the Confederacy is the war that they started, that they lost, that they seem to want to keep alive. I'm just telling you where I come from as a, you know, historically for me. The Confederate flag is something that I feel no affection for other than, you know, hey, it was on the top of the General Lee. And so for that reason, it was cool. But you would never have me flying a Confederate flag on my house or putting one on my car. Or, you know, it just, it's not my thing. And then I moved here, and we've lived here for now 13 years. And, you know, trying to listen to people and learn from them and talk to them. My view of the Confederate flag, there's, like I said, I would still never fly it for me. It doesn't represent me, and it doesn't represent anything that I look up to and honor. But this was the City of Five Flags when I moved here, and I took that seriously as honoring the history. You know, we honor the British flag, which had a lot of terrible things under it. We honored the Spanish flag, which had a lot of terrible things happening. We honored the French flag, which had a lot of terrible things happening. We honored the Confederate flag, which had, you know, a lot of terrible things happen under it. And the United States flag, which also has a lot of terrible things that happen under it. But that's our history. That's our five flags that have flown over this area. Let's not get into the nuance about which flag flew where and which version of that flag. That's not important. The important part to me was always, that's who we are. We honor our history, good and bad. You know, flying the Confederate flag as a part of the five flags did not, to me, ever represent an affirmation of the Confederacy any more than flying the French flag meant an affirmation of the French monarchy or the British Empire. You know, it just meant an acknowledgement that that was our history and that's how we got here. The one we honor, the one we affirm is the, you know, the one with the stripes and the stars and the blue part. Like, that's the one that we honor. But obviously, not everybody agrees with that perspective, and they think that the Confederate flag is so wicked, terrible, and horrible that it ought to be removed. And they got it removed. You know, remember Grover Robinson stopped putting it on city things and replaced it with the Florida flag, and that's kind of where we stand now, as I sometimes say, the city of 4.5 flags. Well, I always thought that was a mistake. As somebody to whom the Confederate flag not only means nothing, but is generally a negative thing, I thought it ought to have been preserved in the five flags. I thought that's our history. That's who we are. You don't erase history. Don't censor history. Don't change it. You got to keep it there so we're aware of it. And I had the same view of this monument. I would not have paid for the monument. I would not have donated to it. I would not have affirmed the creation of the monument. The context around the reinvigoration of the Southern mindset that this was a part of was obnoxious to me. Historically, I think that the monument's not a good choice. Okay, but we made it. And it was, I mean, God, the story, it was made by a guy who was not a good guy. when he was governor, Perry made the creation of the state Confederate monument a priority, and, you know, he dramatically changed or got rid of the Pensacola City Charter, which removed all the elected officials, including the only black mayor we've ever had, Salvador Pons. Rewrote the state constitution, made it possible for Jim Crow laws. Not a guy that I particularly want to honor as a former brigadier general in the Confederate Army who became governor, even though he's from Pensacola. You know, there's nothing about this that I affirm, and yet I'm so opposed to censoring history, so opposed to getting rid of things just because we don't like them today, that's where I come at it from. So flash forward to now, you know, after it's been gone for several years, and, you know, you may not know this if you're new enough to the area, but the steps that go from the across-the-street parking lot in the Baptist church that go up the way to get up to level for the old monolith, those steps had each of the states of the Confederacy. I forget. I think the order was how they joined. So, like, walking up the steps, you would walk across, basically, all of the original Confederate states. And again, I think it was in the order that they joined, which I always thought that was a very, pardon me for saying it, but I thought that was cool. I thought that was a historically interesting way of remembering something that was incredibly important in Pensacola, just like having Klan marches downtown was an important thing to not forget that we're not that far away from real out in the public, overt, brutal racism being a part of our history. You know, just like the counter-protests and the exclusion of black people from various forms of life and separated fountains. And just, again, I'm a believer in know the history. Teach the history. Don't hide the history. So what they've done now, or what they're, I guess, in the process of doing, is, again, putting the cenotaph over in the cemetery next to Perry's grave, which, if you're going to put it anywhere, and because you're not going to put it back on the hill, even though I think that's the place where it should be, that makes sense to me. And then the question is, well, what do you do with the obelisk on top? Well, again, good reporting by Jim Little. Well, we don't want to put it in the cemetery because then it almost starts to seem like the cemetery is honoring the Confederacy or participating in the creation of this monument, and it's so big that it would become dominant in the landscape and that the cost was high. Lots of different things there. And so what Rob Overton with UWF Historic Trust is, he wants to take that and he wants to create an educational historical exhibit around the soldier and the obelisk so that people don't forget it, can see it, as we should do with our history. And so we'll have them in two separate places. It's not exactly clear where that's going to go, some kind of an exhibit somewhere, not in the cemetery. Again, I would just as soon have it back where it was, just like I would just as soon have the five flags where they were. That's not going to happen. I've long since lost this argument in the public arena, apparently, because the people who are making the decisions are not asking me this, and they're not following the guidance that my analysis would give. But short of that, this is second best. It'll be in a place where people can see it. It'll be in a place where people can learn about it or forget it if they want to, but it will be educational, historical, if out of context. I think it's sad that we lost a thing that we had to history, but at least we haven't lost it entirely and we didn't, you know, tear it down and bulldoze it and destroy it entirely. So next best, you might say. 437-1620. What do you think? Is there a, you know, would you prefer a return to the Five Flags? Would you prefer, you know, a return of the monument? Are you happy with this outcome? I know typically people who are in favor of the monument originally or the Five Flags are not going to be happy with this. But then again, you know, I'm against those things, but I'm not, but I was unhappy too, right? I'm more of a tolerant and teach history kind of person. So I'm just, you know, curious if you have a thought about it. Feel free to text me, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay, and if you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an outstanding selection of good quality used cars. And the way to think about it is they're a place where they know you don't like to go shopping for a car. Like, most normal people hate buying a car. It's a long process. It's frustrating. You know, nobody wants to take the time to do it. Nobody loves thinking about the money involved in doing it. You know, you have to meet a lot of people that you'd really not have to, rather have to meet, and deal with a lot of things that you don't have to deal with. At Frontier, they just try to take all of that into account and do it less obnoxiously. You know, do it in a way where they get that that's something that people don't like. So here's a bunch of cars. Drive as many as you like. Sit in as many as you like. Talk to us if you want to when you're done, and then we'll talk about a price. And, you know, if you like that price, great. If you want to haggle, we can haggle. That's fine. But whenever we get done talking about the out-the-door price, there's no other changes. There's no like, oh, by the way, here's this extra fee. No, that's all right in the price sheet that they give you along with the Carfax. And then after you buy the car, I know from experience, they treat you just really well. Like, they want you to come back. And a lot of places treat you, well, hey, we sold you a car. Bye-bye! You know, have a nice life. And Frontier is really emphatic about trying to make you customers for life, and they treat you differently because of it. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for 29 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
T-Mobile has an exclusive bundle for customers 55 and up.
I'm Sarah Bowl.
Yeah, I'm Frank Bowl.
A reliable network is key for us. And with T-Mobile, it's been wonderful. And going to the 55 plus plan saved us so much money.
A lot.
And that's important. Trying to keep costs down. The home internet's been perfect. It's fast. It's quick. The setup was so easy. It took less than 15 minutes.
It was like, ta-da! If you want simplicity, coverage, reliability, you want the whole package, T-Mobile has it.
Right now, T-Mobile customers 55 and up can get two phone lines on America's best network, plus America's fastest 5G home internet for just $30 each.
$30 per month each line with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Minimum age 55. Pricing for home internet rely on two lines of Essentials Choice 55. $35 connection charge per line required. Best mobile network and fastest 5G home internet based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 2H 2025. All rights reserved.
You know those big banks where you're just an account number? Where customer service is a chatbot and hold music is your least favorite song? Yeah, we're not that. We're Penair Credit Union. Local, member-owned, and actually built to work for you. With better rates, few, if any, fees, and service from people who know you by name. So why bank big when you can bank better? Visit penair.org to learn more. Federally insured by NCUA.
One of life's greatest mysteries has finally been solved.
Who let the dogs out?
Spruce! Spruce! Spruce!
It's Spruce, the weed and grass killer that's safe for use around people, pets, and bees. When used as directed, spray the leaves for visible results in just 1 hour, and dead weeds in just 1 day. You spray, they play. Spruce, pet friendly, weed deadly. Find wherever weed killers are sold.
You're busy. You just need to know what's happening.
What's happening?
Pensacola right now
with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7 on News Radio 983, 95.3 and AM 1620.
Hello, Wazowski. Fun-filled evening planned for tonight?
Well, as a matter of fact...
And I'm sure you filed your paperwork correctly, for once. Your stunned silence is very reassuring.
All right, PJ, we're going to find out a lot about you here in this segment. You ready to go?
I guess so.
Did I have a choice? What was my alternative? I didn't know this was coming. All right. Let me take you back to your not quite youth, but your like just post-college days. Okay. In chain restaurants that are not fast food, Okay, so your sit-down restaurants that you can find in any big country.
Like Olive Garden?
That's it, yeah.
Okay.
Like Olive Garden, like Chili's, like, you know, I suppose now you might say Texas Roadhouse, but, you know, go back, Chi-Chi's when Chi-Chi's existed, okay? Mm-hmm. Although I thought Chi-Chi's was supposed to come back, and that would be the very exciting thing. Anyway, did you have a restaurant like that that you enjoyed going to a lot?
I don't know if they had them here, but Bonanza.
Oh, Bonanza, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like Ponderosa.
Ponderosa yeah. adjacent, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you might think Golden Corral these days, but it was a lot more.
Yeah.
A lot higher quality orientation around the.
Yeah,
I think so. I mean, no offense to Golden Corral, but, you know, for those of us who grew up on, you know, Ponderosa and Bonanza, Golden Corral is also there. Mm-hmm. like there was Ryan's, you know, Ryan's Steakhouse was. Great, and
exactly.
it was a steakhouse with a buffet instead of a buffet with a steak section, which is kind of, you know, what Golden Corral is. It's a buffet that's got, you know, steak elements. Okay, Olive Garden, you said it. Are you much of an Olive Garden person? Were you ever
Not
much of an
really.
Olive Garden person? So Olive Garden is known famously, and I worked at Olive Garden for like 3 or 4 years in college. So, you know, Olive Garden, I can still smell it. Not the smell you smell when you're a customer, but the smell you smell on your apron when you go home at night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I probably still have an apron laying around somewhere that still probably smells just that way. Olive Garden is famous, of course, for the, you know, never-ending breadsticks, never-ending salad. That's their thing. Or never-ending soup. You can get soup instead of salad. Or both, you know, if you buy the soup and salad. But they had, off and on again, the never-ending pasta bowl, where you would pay, the, you know, whatever the current rate of inflation is, and you could have spaghetti with meat sauce or a fettuccine alfredo or, you know, various things. Well, they did a thing one time called the Never-Ending Pasta Pass. Do you remember this? Is this ring a bell for you?
No.
Yeah, in 2019, they first had it. And the idea was that they would sell so many of these things at, I don't remember what it was in 2019, maybe $100. That's what it is today anyway. And they would only sell so many, and they'd be online, and then it would not be available anymore. And for like 10 weeks, you could go get as fat as you wanted to get.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could eat all the pasta of all the kinds. I mean, there's certain limits. You can't order all the shrimp kind of thing, you know, but you can order basically any of the pasta and eat it as much as you want for those 10 weeks. So for $100, once you go, like, you know, obviously if you go 10 times, you're way ahead. And if you go 20 times, of course, would you have gone 20 times to begin with? That's a different argument. Well, they did it in 2019. They did it actually back in 2014 first with 1,000. And it became a thing. You know, it's kind of like you'd have to win the lottery to win one, to get one, because they're very scarce. But boy, once you got them, you'd use them. Ish, you know. So now they're bringing this back. And Thursday, July 16th, starting at 2 o'clock Eastern time. Remember that number. So 1 o'clock regular time, normal people time, central time zone. For $100 each plus tax. So what, $107. You can go to pastapass.com and have a chance to win 10,000 never-ending pasta passes.
Oh, wow.
That's a pretty good deal. I mean, food, if you're a food person, if you go out to eat, I think that the approach most people take is, I'm gonna eat every day. No, you're not. I mean, don't even set that as your goal. Just set it as, you know, it's like when you used to buy the movie pass. You don't watch a movie every day, you know, or you go a couple times a week, and you just use it more than you would, and you get a great deal out of the thing. Because if you go, it's for 13 weeks. So if you go, you know, twice a week, 26 times, and you divide it out, I mean, you're paying $4 a time to go to Olive Garden. That's a pretty good deal.
Mm-hmm.
That's about a third to a fourth of the regular cost. Of course, you got a tip still, so it's maybe not quite as cheap. But anyway, so yeah, that's coming. That's going to be available. And also, the never-ending pasta bowl is going to restart at $15, August 31st. If you are one of the lucky 10,000 in the United States pass holders, you get to start like a week early, August 24th, on the never-ending, because so that's coming. And I would imagine that that'll probably sell out online in, oh, I don't know, 4 or 5 seconds. you know, it's going to be like trying to get Taylor Swift tickets. I mean, good luck.
Mm-hmm.
May the odds be ever in your favor, because they are most definitely not in your favor. 529 on you. Would you do that, $100?
My wife would do it.
Would she?
Yeah.
You probably can't get more than one, so she'd be going alone for 13 weeks.
Well, she'll take the kids.
Love that. That's you've been married 20 years ish, something like that. 26. Yeah, 26.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, we're real close. Okay. I got 28 myself. So, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, boy, you know, year one, oh no, we're definitely going together. Year 26, no, she's taking the kids and I'm doing other stuff. I mean, that's how that works. I love it. 437 1620. 437 1620. If you could, I, you know, I don't go out to eat enough that it would probably be worth me doing an Olive Garden. God, I can't even remember the last time I've been at an Olive Garden. I probably still have, like, an Olive Garden gift card laying around somewhere that's got, you know, $1.50 on it. You know, because when a gift card gets below, you can't buy anything with it, but you don't want to throw it away either.
Exactly.
You know, like I can split a tiramisu with you maybe or something. It's not enough to really buy anything useful. All right. Coming up next, we talked to Jimmy Patronis yesterday. Had a really good conversation with him about a variety of things. We'll have that for you. Coming up next on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
News. I'm Gianna Gelosi. The U.S. and Iran trading strikes for a third straight day after President Trump said he would restart a blockade of Iranian ports and take control of the Strait of Hormuz.
We're putting the blockade back, and it's a blockade not for anybody but Iran. In other words, anybody doing business with Iran can't go through. Everyone else will be able to go through.
Trump also suggested the U.S. will charge ships for passage, what the administration has demanded Iran not do.
It's Fox's Alex Hogan. South Carolina gets a new senator with a familiar name, Darlene Graham Nordone, officially assuming her late brother's seat.
I think this is what Lindsey would have wanted, and I plan to honor him.
Her stay in the Senate will be temporary as South Carolina plans for a special election next month to choose a Republican nominee for the general election in November. Gernal Scott, Fox News.
America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, and right now we've got 73 degrees with partly cloudy skies. We'll get a look at our forecast up in just a few minutes. Well, a third arrest has been made in the downtown Pensacola shooting from the 4th of July weekend. Police say 16-year-old Kanye Dwayne Walker handed the gun to Nicholas Safford, who is accused in the shooting that killed 19-year-old P.J. Shepard. And Walker faces aggravated assault and weapons charges. Police say that at least three people fired guns that night. And Police Chief Eric Winstrom warning against any retaliation as detectives continue to dig through evidence. So far, nobody has been charged with the murder of P.J. Shepard. Well, investigators are looking into the theft of three air conditioning units from the Brownsville Assembly of God Church. Surveillance photos show the suspect hauling off units using a light blue tricycle with a mini trailer. Escambia County officials say thieves often sell those stolen AC units for scrap. Commissioner Lumen May told Channel 3 it was a sign of tough times, but he did say the community is already working to replace the air conditioning units. Anybody with information on that theft is asked to contact Crime Stoppers. Well, postal rates continue to soar. News Radio's Chris Bryan says the price increases are now in effect.
Mailing a letter costs more as the U.S. Postal Service has begun implementing new price increases. The price of a one-ounce first-class mail letter is now 82 cents. That's up from 78 cents. Metered one-ounce letters rise from 74 cents to 78 cents. Postcard rates also increase. Domestic postcards now 65 cents. And international postcards $1.75, up from 170. And USPS confirming today the adjustments reflect rising operational cost. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. Well, a Jacksonville firefighter has been suspended without pay after being arrested on drug charges. Police say 43-year-old LaTavior Stevens sold crack cocaine to an undercover police officer in 2023, including sales near a park and a church. Stevens had been assigned to Fire Station 27 in Jacksonville. He was arrested on July 9th. Well, free parking for the Pensacola Beach Air Show tends to disappear pretty fast. Last year, more than 3,300 free spots filled up overnight before the dress rehearsal on Friday. That left latecomers paying triple-digit prices on private lots, with some businesses charging between $100 and $200. The sheriff's office says there's just nothing they can do about it. Property owners charge whatever they want. Well, a federal grand jury has indicted nine people for illegally reentering the country after previously being deported. The men from Mexico, Honduras, and Guatemala were located across Escambia, Okaloosa, and Walton counties in May and June. Court records show most of them had been deported multiple times before. One man had even been deported seven separate times. All nine men are now facing charges for illegal reentry. It's 5:35, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be looking at a 60% chance of those showers and thunderstorms today. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies with a high near 87 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. For Wednesday, mostly sunny skies with just a 20% chance of rain, high near 91. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. Heading into Thursday, mostly sunny skies with a 10% chance of rain, high near 92. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 81. Second night, the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEARTV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
72 degrees with partly cloudy skies. Your next news. 30 minutes in breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Denver-based Voyager Technologies has announced it has finalized its planned acquisition of Pittsburgh space and defense company Astrobotic. The cash and stock deal, valued at around $300 million, will see Astrobotic rebranded as Voyager Lunar Systems. Operations will continue at the company's Pittsburgh headquarters. IDC Research says that China's smartphone shipments fell 4.3% to 66 million units in the second quarter from a year earlier, as many manufacturers hiked prices to reflect rising memory and component costs. It was the fifth straight quarterly decline. Huawei Technologies and Apple were the only vendors to post growth in the quarter, with shipments up roughly 19 and 24% respectively. UMC has announced the first mass-produced silicon photonics wafers from its Singapore facility. Citi forecasts a positive outlook for the company in the second half of the year. Its stock dropped more than 3% upon the news. Futures are mixed as tensions in the Middle East escalate. That's Your Money Now.
Managing your ECUA service is easier. The new My ECUA mobile app puts everything you need right at your fingertips. From paying your bill, submitting service requests, and reporting issues like missed collections, damaged or lost bins, water main breaks, and sewer overflows, it's all right there in one easy-to-use app. Take control of your services anytime, anywhere. So download My ECUA. It's available in the App Store and Google Play.
When it comes to precious metals, there's only one place to consider, and that's Emerald Coast Coins. They're the local leader in dealing with coins and jewelry, gold, silver, diamonds, and sterling silver. Emerald Coast Coins buys, sells, and trades. And for the past 15 years, customers from all over the Gulf Coast have trusted Emerald Coast Coins for the best estimates and prices in town. Stop in today. Emerald Coast Coins on Creighton Road.
Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump, and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
Get ready for the News Radio 92.3 Naval Aviation Museum Foundation broadcast of the 2026 Blue Angels Air Show on Pensacola Beach. Hear the narration right here on News Radio 92.3. Bring your radio or download our app. Then tune in Friday at 2 and then Saturday starting at 11 to hear all the narration from the News Radio team and the Blue Angels. Brought to you by Jim's Firearms, Dale's Marine Construction, Quality Roofing Solutions, Pensacola Beach RV Resort, and Buggy Works.
Talking about it. We're talking about it.
The midterm elections. Who will win? Who will not?
One question about the 2026 races is already answered.
It'll all be covered on News Radio 92.3.
Campaign 2026.
This is where the fun begins.
Every step, every day.
If you're talking about it, we're talking about it.
On News Radio 92.3. Informative. Informative. Local. Dependable.
Chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and a radio.
Good morning, I'm Andrew McKay at Spence Golden Morning News. Joining us by phone now, we have Jimmy Patronis. He is our congressman for Florida District 1, Northwest Florida. Jimmy, welcome back, sir.
Happy 250.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think you and I, the last time we talked, the country was only 249 years young. So I know it's a little bit old in terms of news, but man, that fireworks show was fantastic. And I love seeing all the flags on display.
Yeah, I tell you, that's one thing about this administration. He definitely wants to seize the opportunity to make Washington safe again, Washington beautiful again. He wants to take out and celebrate to a whole new memorable level for the events surrounding the 250. So, it's been a pretty awesome time to see some history made.
Oh, no doubt about it. I was actually telling my son, who had not watched it, I'm like, did you watch the fourth? He's like, no. And I said, you need to go pull it up on YouTube and watch it. It's like a finale for 40 minutes. And he's like, oh, okay. So, I hope he enjoys it. We've had a lot of incidents take place since you and I last talked. Obviously, the one that is the most on everybody's mind in the news anyway is the passing of longtime Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina. I never had a chance to meet him. I can't remember if I ever interviewed him. I mean, ran for president. He was one of the most prominent neoconservative voices in the government, longtime associate of John McCain and of that vintage. But, a sudden loss all of a sudden. He has this heart issue over the weekend, right?
Yeah. I'd been with the senator a couple of times. The first was in 2018. Rick Scott was running for United States Senate. He was then Governor Rick Scott over in Jacksonville. So he and I and Senator Graham we did a rally for Rick Scott together over there. So we got to spend some time together, and it really I appreciated him because here Lindsey Graham was coming to Florida to oust an incumbent, Bill Nelson, with a non-incumbent, Rick Scott. And so it was an awful lot, I thought it said, for him, getting into the trenches with Rick Scott in a contested election against a senator that probably Lindsey Graham had worked with for the last, 12, 18 years.
Yeah.
So, and then the second time was when I was a CFO, we were down in Palm Beach County together, and we shared a ride to a bill signing together. We all assembled at the same place, and he was sitting in the front seat, and I was in the back seat, and we rode to a bill signing together. But nice guy, hard worker.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell. I mean, obviously very passionate about government, passionate about his principles, and, being willing to take a contrary position to whoever, he disagreed with. I didn't always agree with Lindsey Graham, but I more often than not, and I thought he was quite a force for, that particular viewpoint on conservatives, and he was certainly clear about that. We've had the Supreme Court has done, actually, before we get to the Supreme Court, Iran, obviously, we're back off of the ceasefire. The war powers vote has been brought up again. Where do you think we're at with that since they kind of voted to stop hostilities? I think the House even as well. But then those hostilities had started and now we're starting again. What does it mean as a legal issue for the president and the Pentagon's activities right now?
So we touched a little bit on this last time we talked, and I still say, I think this is becoming more of the narrative of why we're back engaging. You've got these different factions in Iran that still have access to their own type of weapon systems. We're trying to negotiate with a very dysfunctional, very fractured set of angry people. So you're going to have these one-offs that are going to happen where they're going to attack for one reason or another. We don't know how compensation payment, those relationships are taking place right now. So they're lashing out. And so the president, I think, has been trying to be the nice guy, but now he's going to go back and I think you will see more and more of a response through aerial campaigns. In order, and again, I post on social media that I said the beating is going to continue until the morale improves. I really think that this is where the president is going with this. And I think the fact that they made death threats through however way they notified the public with the president, then that was also another retaliatory move that triggered the president's actions.
Yeah, I mean, we had, it was kind of read between the lines a little bit, but like using the other Air Force One and all of that, how was Iran involved in all that? Well, you know, they're not just quietly going into the night and behaving, right? They're doing everything they can, including they would love to be able to assassinate our president. Obviously, I mean, we targeted and killed their president. So it's, you know, I won't say it's justified. I'll say it's understandable. They hate us and they've hated us for 47 years. And we're finally, you know, acting on, you know, fair reciprocity on this.
Go ahead. They really got the hell beat out of them. And, you know, and they just got up for their drunken slumber and they're mad. So, I mean, yeah, this is what it is. We're going to have some challenges getting those guys to get on the same page with us.
The Supreme Court had handed down several rulings. The Supreme Court, one of the big decisions, perhaps the most controversial. I was actually surprised that it was as close as it was. I expected it to be an 8-1, maybe a 7-2, but I believe it was 5-4 if you cobble together all the different opinions. The birthright citizenship case, it seems like an easy one because it is, you know, it's pretty clear right there in the Constitution. But there are some elements of reality in which people are manipulating, twisting, trying to game the system to their advantage that maybe don't get talked about as much. And that, I think, is what the president was trying to thwart, right, Jimmy? And I know this is your passion about some of these. What is the outcome now? What is Congress going to be doing now?
So the only we can go back, we could try to change the Constitution. Good luck. I think we can't even get our own National Defense Authorization Act passed.
Isn't that crazy?
No way we can get to the birth site correction for amending that. But I do know that in the first Trump administration, there was an effort to try to curb the birthright citizenship, the birth tourism that takes place. And we got to go back and revisit that, you know, and it takes language in order to tighten it up. You know, I told the team, I said, when somebody applies for a visa to come into this country and they are coming in and they know they're pregnant, well, let's make that part of more the inquiry of why they're seeking a visa to the United States. And then if they are entering here under false pretenses, then you know what? Let's make it clear that they're not eligible, especially for the parents. Because only when we're talking, they're playing games with the kid, okay? But then let's make sure the kids are on no-fly. I mean, the parents on a no-fly list and can never enter into the United States. So, I mean, let's fix what we can fix right now. But I do think that the Supremes do still, because of a 5-4, that they realize this is games being played with our Constitution. It's exploiting it in a perverted way that was never meant to be perverted. And the airlines are enabling this. But you know what? If we're giving them visas, then the airlines are just, you know, complying with, you know, a government document that they've received.
And you know, for people who may not know this story, I know many of you do know this, but for those who don't know, you know, it's very common, for example, for Asians to fly to California and when they're 8 months pregnant and then stay in a hospital / you know, delivery suite. This is typically more wealthy ones, and stay there until they deliver a baby so they can have American citizenship for the child and then fly back home. And then, you know, when they're adults, then they do whatever they want to do. But that is clearly not what the founders intended. I think the law is very clear, and that's why what you're saying, Jimmy, is right, that, you know, the Supreme Court got it right. They are citizens, but is that really the kind of thing that we want to allow? And then the major category I know that Trump is passionate about is, you know, illegal immigrants and people who are here, you know, and come here and then deliver children that live here. Now, in my mind, if they're living here for their whole lives, I mean, I don't have any problem with them being citizens if they were born here. But if they come for, you know, again, a short period of time and then they're deported and they happen to give birth to a child while they're here, you know, like there's something about that that doesn't seem quite fair, just, or appropriate, even if it is what the Constitution says.
Well, and here's the other angle that's taking place. I can almost guarantee you, when they fly into California, what have you, they'll go into the emergency room to have that delivery take place. You know who's footing the bill on that is the taxpayers. So, I mean, just everything about it stinks, but it's a loophole that is being gained. The law wasn't written to allow somebody to come fly in here and give a baby delivery and make the taxpayers pay for it. But that's exactly what's happening because somebody's being born in the United States.
The ruling on mail-in ballots, I thought, was very interesting. A lot of conservatives are saying that Amy Coney Barrett betrayed the cause. I don't think so. I lived in Oregon. We did 100% mail-in ballots. It doesn't bother me. And certainly when you're talking about accommodating overseas military, I prefer the idea that all the ballots would be in-house and counted on Tuesday, the 1st of November. I would prefer that. But I understand where she's trying to thread the needle and say, look, 5 days after the election day, as long as they're postmarked by the election day and we get them within 5 days, that's a reasonable balance between the, you know, the opportunity of the mail and everything else. But and that was a much, I think that was a 7-2, if I remember correctly. I have to go back and check on that. Maybe that was a 5-4, where she and John Roberts, that's right, she and John Roberts sided with Elena Kagan and the liberals. So conservatives are kind of screaming about this. Your take or what might be done now?
Yeah, so where the president's really getting spun up on mail-in ballots is the harvesting part that's taken place in California. I don't know all the members of the process yet, but I got on an elevator the other day with a Democratic member from California, didn't know me, but decided to engage me on this issue. And so we're talking, and he, for some reason why he said, you know what, I'm going to vent this to you. He says, you've got to fix mail-in ballots. And I said, okay, well, tell me what's going on. And he says, you would not believe how bad it is in California. He says, we send every single person on the voter rolls a mail-in ballot. And then we have these educational events. He says, and we bring all the people together and we wine them and dine them and feed them. And then we assist them and educate them on how to solve the ballots. And then they harvest them. So, I mean, here's a Democrat in California who is upset with how his own party has allowed the process to get, because there's certain Democrats just stay in power forever.
Right.
So, I mean, this is all part of, you know, where I think the president's real heartburn over this is how elections are gained in markets with the mail-in ballot process.
And of course, you know, in Florida, you have to request one. You have to go back and request it in basically every election, which restricts that opportunity. But, you know, I mean, even in Florida, there's sort of this old history of having the, you know, the water and barbecue parties where people will come and, you know, fill out their ballots. And, you know, that's something the Democrat Party here has done in the past. And I agree with you that the, you know, we want people to be able to vote, and we want to make it as easy for them to vote as possible. Meanwhile, we want to cut down on fraud and abuse and, you know, manipulation of the system. And finding that balance is a challenge. I think that as Republicans, we make a mistake when we come out and be against mail-in ballots in bulk, because it is so easy and so useful for so many people. My wife will always do a mail-in ballot because she's a mom. She doesn't have to, you know, the challenges of being a mom and going, and she's gotten accustomed to that system now with the kids are being older. So I think sometimes we sound like we're against mail-in ballots when what we should focus on is being against the abuses of that system.
Yeah, well, that's just how it's being manipulated. But Florida, we do mail-in ballots, right?
Yep.
But we had to be embarrassed on a global scale back in 2000 to get our election house in order. And unfortunately, I mean, I don't know how many, 6 weeks afterwards, are still counting ballots for the LA mayor's race. I mean, you know, again, I don't live in California. I'm never intending on living in California, but it is pretty stinking embarrassing that's how they do it. But it also protects the way of life and governance that their people want.
Right, right. Or at least some of them want. Absolutely. And that's part of the challenge. It is ridiculous that we don't have a result from California for anything until so long after. Because it's kind of funny. I made a post about this and I said, you know, Florida does it right. Why don't you do it our way? And everybody's like, yeah, look at 2000. I'm like, we do it right because of 2000. How do you not get this? We went through the pain of doing it badly, and now we do it well because we learned the lesson with all of that. Hey, last thing, Jimmy, I know this is your favorite issue in the whole wide world to talk about. Men playing in women's sports, a transgender sports ban, that was upheld by the Supreme Court. It was allowed essentially to prohibit men from, you know, biological men, XY chromosome, people from playing in XX chromosome sports. I assume you're fully on board with this, even though, again, it's not necessarily your favorite issue to talk about.
Yeah, no, hey, I'm so glad that was the ruling of the Supreme Court. Now, I mean, you know, let's just move forward and continue to have some sane governance when it comes to, you know, those athletic programs, especially in the amateur space. You know, I think there's just a very crazy, disjointed chapter of collegiate athletics that was exploited by some really, you know, outlandish governance. And now at least sounds like there's some common sense that's starting to come into play again.
And by the way, I was mixing two issues in my head, and I apologize. You don't have any problem talking about this issue. I was thinking about how you don't love talking about the Epstein stuff.
That.
Yeah, that's the one. you know, sex related in both cases, and so I in very different ways. So I apologize for implying that you don't love talking about or don't care passionately about this issue. Jimmy Petronas, he is our congressman from Northwest Florida District 1. As always, Jimmy, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
See you, buddy. Take care.
Always. 5:54 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. Of course, that was our conversation from yesterday. If you are thinking about picking up a piece of real estate, a residential, you know, moving or acquiring, because, you know, sometimes you'll want a second home, a beach home, a vacation rental, a regular rental, you know, whatever the case may be. Or, you know, your family's growing, and so it's time to expand your home or to get your first one or to downsize if your family is, you know, you're empty nesting or you're on your way to it. Whatever the case may be, if it's residential, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty can take care of you. During the height of the market, when everything was easy, they were selling over 200 homes, and the market got harder and the prices got higher and the interest rates got higher and people got skittish. You know, they dropped all the way down to 175 homes a year sold in 2023. 175 homes. That's so insane. And then it was 165 in 2024. And then in 2025, when market conditions were basically still the same, they rebounded tremendously. I mean, again, 165 a year is an amazing number. But all the way back over 200 to 206 sold last year, which is an unbelievable number. And the point is that they have experience. And you might think, well, they sell so many homes, I'll feel like just a number. No, it's actually the other way around. The reason they're able to be so successful is because they make everybody feel like you're their only client. And so if you need somebody to come, somebody will come. And the benefit of having a team is, you know, if you need somebody on short order and they weren't planning for it, well, you know, hey, life interferes. But you have a team available to you that are all outstanding because Christina has, you know, worked with all of them to get them up to her standards. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 when Jessica Simpson, president of the Pensacola Beach Chamber of Commerce, will be on the show talking about the Blue Angels Air Show and how it's more than just an air show, as guests can enjoy shopping, dining, beach activities, and a full weekend experience while watching the nation's premier aviation events. All today at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR can help you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You don't need another money hack. You need a plan. Dave Ramsey, weeknights at 7 on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
I quote John Lennon, "I don't believe in Beatles, I just believe in me." A good point there. After all, he was the walrus.
I could be the walrus. Still wouldn't have a ride to school. But he wasn't the walrus either. I love that line. It's such a great line. Because it's wrong, and that's part of the joke. 5:59 on News Radio 92.3. Do you know the whole, like, Beatle, who was the walrus thing?
I remember the debate.
Yeah. Yes. I'd say I'm about at that point of knowledge at this point in my history. It's the kind of thing I remember I used to know real well, which always cracks me up because there's so many things that you're so passionate about at a certain point in your life, mm-hmm. and then later on in your life, you're around other people who are now passionate about the thing that you used to feel so informed about, and I'm like, well, I remember I knew a lot about that before. I find that with, like, Christian theology things, you know. There was a time when I was so emphatic about all of the verses and all of the arguments about, you know, baptism and salvation and, you know, I mean, all the nuances of communion and everything else. And now I'm like, you know, I've forgotten so much of it. I remember what my position is and sort of some of the rough outlines, but if you get me into a verse war about women in ministry, I mean, I just have to bow out.
Local talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3 WNRP.